But for me, it's the mountains. I don't know, it's incredible. It's an incredible feeling for me to be that tiny in these massive, massive, massive mountains. To realize how small and seemingly insignificant you are in the Lord's amazing creation, but to also remember that He knows how many hairs are on your head. That's how much He loves you. The other thing climbing in the mountains does is it brings the very basic things of life back to the forefront: warmth, food, and water. Now, on one of the days, it was evening, and I was summiting one of the peaks they called Cleft Peak. It's about 3,300 meters. I was by myself. The others had gone their own way. We'd already set base camp, and we were just each doing our own thing. And down in the valley below, we saw a lone Lesotho herdsman. We'd walked from South Africa into Lesotho. And we didn't see anyone in those 4 days that we were out there except for this one lone Lesotho herdsman in the middle of nowhere on these plains on the top of the mountain. And it gave me a huge respect for King David and his humble beginnings. How this lone shepherd, and it was cold. I mean, we were in our Gore-Tex fleece down jackets, and this guy's got like a blanket wrapped around him. It was freezing. I mean, there was ice and snow. There was no liquid running water. We had to actually boil all our water. And while I was up there watching him tend the sheep, I saw him go down on his knees and break open some ice in a stream far, far below. Break open the ice so his sheep could drink from the water. Now, I didn't know this, but the next morning we woke up and we only had 2 stoves with us. The first one was a gas stove, which was frozen and wouldn't work. And the second one was a paraffin stove that got broken on the hike on the way up. So now we had no water because, as I said, it was only ice and snow. But the Lord had shown me that particular day when I was watching the herdsman where to go and find water. So we went and we filled up and we were fine, and I praise God for that. But it brings to my attention the importance of water. And that is my message today: the importance of water. Now, the topic's actually water baptism. Now, I know that there's many opinions from many people about how and why things should be done, and opinions revolving around water baptism. But in my opinion, there's only one opinion that's worthwhile, and that's the opinion of the Bible. So, because it's a contentious issue, most of these opinions basically are derived from a number of questions, and I'm going to just cover 7 of them. Who should be baptized? Is baptism necessary for salvation? Why should we be baptized? What does baptism symbolize? When must we get baptized? What does baptism declare? And how to be baptized? Now, to get a full understanding of baptism, we need to go back to the Greek word to get the definition. The Greek word is baptizo, and it's not baptizo because there's no B in Greek, it's only a V. I'm just giving you a little quick Greek lesson via my wife. It's baptizo, even though you see a B there, there's no B. If you went back 2,000 years ago to where Jesus was on earth, you would have heard this word baptizo in everyday language all the time. For a long period, the word baptizo had no religious significance at all. None at all. Women baptized their dishes. Sinking ships were baptized into the sea. Children playing in the river would baptize one another, as in dunk one another. One Jewish historian even wrote that a man was murdered by baptism. In other words, he was drowned. I tell you now, he wasn't sprinkled to death. He was drowned. Baptizo. Now, as I just mentioned, Kat and I come from a Greek background. And in the Greek, there's no ways around getting around the translation of the word baptizo. So in the Greek Orthodox Church, infants are not sprinkled, they dunked, submerged underwater. The Afrikaans have also, they translated very well. They've got it, I think it's dop. Dop. Not drink, okay. But even Afrikaans culture has the klein dop and the groot dop. Okay, see. This morning I'm talking about the groot dop because it's the only one of relevance. Baptism, the actual word baptism isn't a translation. It's a transliteration. Now what that means is when King James ordered the Bible to be translated back in the good old days, he said to the translators that they must be very careful not to offend the Church of England, which he was the head. So when they came across the word baptizo, which means immerse, they transliterated it into the word baptism. This brings me to my first question. Who should be baptized? Who should be baptized? Well, Jesus himself answers this question. In the last three verses of Matthew, Jesus gives us the answer to this. And he's saying this just before he ascends into heaven. Now, let me ask you a question. If you're around your loved ones, your friends, your family, and you knew you were going away, not to be with your family again, what would you tell them? So picture it. You're with your friends, your family, and you're going to go away forever. What would the last thing you tell them? You're going to tell them something of incredible importance. Things like, I love you. I'll miss you. This is what Jesus says as he's about to leave his disciples. Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you to do. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of this age. What does the scripture imply? The candidates for baptism are disciples, not babies. Disciples. Is baptism necessary for salvation? Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. We are saved by the grace of God, through the faith in Jesus Christ, followed by confessing this faith with our mouths to people. We are not saved by baptism. I'll repeat that. We are not saved by baptism. Baptism is a symbolic act. It declares our decision to follow Christ. It is an initiation ceremony into the kingdom of God. It is not essential, but it is a very, very important step and recommended step upon entering the kingdom of God. It shows the world, it shows God and the world that you have a serious commitment towards Him. Now, what does all this mean? I'd like to explain it in a more tangible type of way. 6 years ago, on the 3rd of July, 6 years ago on the 3rd of July, my name was Yanni Akavalos. I was single, I was a bachelor. And I had decided to do something that showed my commitment to God and to the world, that I had a commitment to one woman. I put a ring on my finger. I would show it to you right now, but I took it off when I was hiking and I forgot to put it back on. So this ring, imagine the ring. This ring. It doesn't have some magical, supernatural, powerful force upon my life. But that day, I committed myself. I committed myself to that woman. It meant my old had finished. I could no longer go and entertain the thoughts of other women. I was committed for the rest of my life until death do I part to Kat. Now, as I said, the day before I got married, I was Yanni Akavalos. The day after I got married, I was still Yanni Akavalos. Nothing physically happened, but something terribly powerful happened in the spiritual realm. A covenant was made. A covenant, whether I realize it and whether you realize it or not, the same as with baptism. A covenant is made. You pick which team you're playing for. Third question. Why should we be baptized? Jesus was baptized as an example for all of us. Now, the fact is, Jesus' ministry on earth, his 3-year ministry, began with baptism. I'm going to read from the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew 3:13-17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, who I am well pleased. Now this is the example that Jesus shows us. This is how he starts his ministry. He could have started his ministry in many ways, in many more showy, powerful ways. He could have arrived at the temple, but he chose to be baptized. Now, you've got to consider that in those days, it was only the Gentiles, it was the lowest of the low that got baptized. So Jesus started at the very bottom. He started his ministry being baptized, and as I mentioned earlier, his last command was to make disciples and baptize people. Now, if baptism was the bookends, as I said, the bookends, the start and the beginning of Jesus' ministry, don't you think it holds some great importance? Baptism is also a step of obedience towards a clear conscience to God. It is also part of the New Testament pattern. You can look all over the New Testament and you will see people getting baptized. Acts 2:38, Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There are many examples of people in the New Testament who got baptized. The people at Pentecost, Acts 2:37. The people in Samaria, Acts 8:12. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch? He got baptized. You remember Saul, who became Paul? He got baptized. Cornelius, the centurion, he got baptized. Lydia, the dealer in the cloth, she got baptized. The Philippian jailer, he got baptized. The Corinthian church, they got baptized. There's plenty more. Look all over the New Testament. People got baptized. What does baptism symbolize? What does baptism symbolize? Baptism represents a death, a burial, and a resurrection. A death, like Jesus who was publicly crucified, the death to your old self and your old ways. A burial, Jesus was buried for 3 days in a grave. Being underwater is like being buried with him. Now, incidentally, when a person dies, you don't, again, I'm harping on this point. When a person dies, you don't sprinkle dirt over them. You bury them. Baptism also symbolizes a resurrection. We come out of the water. We are raised with Christ through faith. When should we be baptized? Fifth question, fifth out of seven. When should we be baptized? Baptism is the next spiritual step you have taken once you've committed your life to Christ. It is part of the salvation and born again process. Basically, the spiritual process goes something like this: repentance, faith in Jesus, baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the last two are switched around, but repentance, faith in Jesus, water baptism, Holy Spirit baptism. I'd like to read you a very short story that I came across. Basically, it was on the internet, but I did check it out. But it's a nice story anyway. Listen to it. William P. Barker tells of a mechanic at the Ford Motor Company in Detroit who became a Christian. He responded to the invitation and was baptized. As the Holy Spirit began to renew this man, he became convicted of his need to make restitution for some parts and some tools he had stolen from the company prior to becoming a Christian. So the next morning, he brought in all the tools and all the parts back to his employer. He explained how he had just been baptized and asked the foreman for his forgiveness. This was such an amazing turn of events that Mr. Ford, who was visiting a plant in Europe at the time, was contacted with the details and asked to respond. Mr. Ford immediately returned a cable with this decision: dam up the Detroit River and baptize the entire city. So the conditions of baptism are proper repentance, faith in Christ, and understanding of immersion. This rules out infant baptism. They cannot understand. Baptism is for those who consciously know what they're doing and make that decision out of their own free choice. What does baptism declare? Your sins have been washed away. You are saved by grace from eternal death. We receive salvation at no cost. We identify with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Now, everything that happens in the New Testament carries through from the Old Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, the whole of Israel went through baptism. They went through a baptism as followers of Moses. They went through the Red Sea. There was a mass baptism of an entire nation. And many things were taking into effect on that day when they crossed the Red Sea. And just listen to the similarities now. They had to trust God. They were leaving their past behind. They had a new future that was unknown to them and possibly even a bit scary. They were leaving slavery. They were becoming warriors. The past ruler over them was done away with. They had a new ruler. Can you see the similarity? How to be baptized? Very simple. In your local church, that is within the body of Christ, you get baptized into the body of Christ. It's very important to join a church like this one that believes in the baptism of believers. Now this morning, I'm going to give some of you an opportunity to get baptized. Now don't worry if you forgot your clothes. We've got a pile of clothes for those who feel convicted. I know some people have already bought a change of clothes with them. But before I give that invitation, I'd just like to share a personal testimony about my own baptism. And I know some of you have heard the beginning of this, so just bear with me while I share the beginning again, or kind of a repeat for some of you. But you haven't heard it all. There I was in California, a brand new Christian. I'd started reading the Bible. I'd invited the Lord Jesus into my heart after a very long road of fighting and kicking and struggling against Him. I eventually did it. But I did it because I wanted to, not because I got forced to. The next step, as I've already highlighted, the next step in your progress as a Christian is to get baptized. Now, the church was telling me to be baptized, but I didn't want to. And the reason was I had this block, a stronghold in my head, which basically ran like this. I didn't want to be considered a reborn Christian. And for me, the whole reborn thing, little did I know that I was already being reborn. But anyway, this is my thinking. This is also the devil's tricks he plays in your mind. I didn't want to become a reborn Christian. I didn't want that label. And for me, it was the actual physical baptism. And I was also, yeah, I got baptized when I was a baby, blah, blah, blah. And anyway, so Kat comes to me and she's like, Yanni, you know, you really need to get baptized. It's the next step. And I'm like, no. I don't need to get baptized. I've been reading my Bible and there was Jesus on the cross. There was two thieves on either side of him. The one asked for mercy and for Jesus to remember him. And Jesus said, I will see you in paradise today. That thief did not get baptized and he went to heaven. So I was convinced I didn't need to get baptized. Anyway, many more weeks go on. Much more disobedience continues. I'm continuing to read my Bible. Eventually, one day I'm sitting in the lounge and Kat comes to me and she says, have you thought about baptism again? And I'm like, look, don't go there. So she says, well, why don't you ask the Lord about it? And I thought, cheapers, that's a very good idea. That's a very good idea. Let's ask God what he thinks. So anyway, I'm sitting in the lounge and I said to God, God, you know, the church is putting pressure on me. Not really pressure, just encouraging, actually. My wife is encouraging me to get baptized. I don't feel I need to. I would like you to tell me in no uncertain words. I want you to tell me in no uncertain terms whether I should get baptized or not. So I take my Bible, and I've told you this the last time I was telling you, don't do this at home. Don't do this at home. I was a new Christian. God saw my heart, but don't do this at home. I grabbed the Bible. I closed my eyes. I turned it upside down, inside out, turned it. Eventually, I lay it on the table, slap open a page, and open my eyes. And as I opened my eyes, I saw a big three, the big number three, and it was John 3. And in John 3 is where Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says, Lord, how do we enter the kingdom of heaven? And he says, you have to be reborn. Reborn. Rhema. Rhema, like God was talking into my heart. Like he was talking directly to Yanni. I started to cry. I actually wept. I fell to my knees. As I continued to read the passage, it just made more and more and more sense that God was talking to me and telling me to get baptized. I picked up the phone, phoned our church, and the next baptism service was in 2 days' time. I registered. Now, 2 days is a long time when you've been fighting baptism all your life and as long as you've been saved. And you know, there's like people coming and the devil coming trying to take you, of course. But I was pretty determined. I was very determined. I'd made up my mind. So anyway, 2 days later, I arrive in this tiny little lounge in the church. There were about 15 of us getting baptized that day. And we sat in a little room. And they kind of gave us a little bit of a talk like I'm giving to you today. A bit shorter. Just to explain what baptism is and all the things around it, just as I have. And they say to us, if there's anything specific that you would like us to pray for while you're in the water, let us know. So I say, fine. So I feel a tug at my shirt. It's my wife. She says, ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So now I'm anxious, okay? I mean, it's taken a lot to get there. So I'm kind of like, Kat, don't tell me what to ask for, okay? This is my thing with the Lord. Please don't interfere. I was a bit anxious at the time. But let me tell you, there's nothing to be anxious about. There's nothing to be anxious about. So anyway, because my surname is A. Akavalos, I'm the first one in line because it is a Baptist type of Baptist church. I get in a white robe and there's a big fish tank at the front of the... Well, it's like a big fish tank. It looks like a fish tank. It's got like glass front and everybody can witness you going into the water. So anyway, I'm standing there in my white robe and I'm the first one in. I go down there and they say to me, is there anything you would like us to pray for? So being obedient to my wife, I said, yes, I would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I said, then there's one other thing. I said, you know, I know God's trying to talk to me, but I can't hear His voice. I can't hear His voice. So anyway, they pray for me. The one guy cups my ear and he prays in tongues. One of the first time I'd ever heard tongues, it was a bit freaky. I go down in the water. I come up and I'm shaking uncontrollably. I'm crying my eyes out. I've just been filled with the Holy Spirit, but I didn't know that at the time. I just thought that I was very emotional. I didn't know what was going on. I had no reference as a Christian. I was just emotional, crying, shaking, and I get out kind of stumbling along. And because I'm the first one, I go down into the change room and I sit there on a chair, overwhelmed by what has happened. I mean, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but don't know it. Obviously, I know it, but I don't know it's the Holy Spirit. And I'm sitting on the chair, and something inside me says, ask your Father for forgiveness. So I'm like, okay. So I kind of look up and I say, Father, forgive me. And for the first time in my entire life, I hear a voice. I hear a voice that I've never heard before in my entire life. A voice that drops into my heart. And He says, my son, I forgive you. As I heard that, I was crying before. Now I was a wreck. I was lying on my face. I know I've just heard from God. I know I've just asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I know I've just asked to hear the voice of God. And I hear it for the very first time. And let me tell you, I'm not trying to compare myself to Jesus. Please, please, I'm not. Jesus' ministry started with His baptism. So did mine. So did mine. That was the day I learned to hear the Lord's voice. That was the day that I chose in front of everybody who I was going to serve. So today, I give open this invitation. We've been filling up our baptism pool out there. We have asked in our small groups if anyone wants to be baptized. So if there is anybody, I'm going to invite you to come forward now, please. Thank you. Please don't be afraid. I know there's more of you out there. There is. I know there is. I'm not gonna call your name, but don't be shy. I honestly, I have clothes. I've got t-shirts. Thank you, Kenneth. Thank you. If you don't have clothes, yeah, don't worry about it. We've got t-shirts, we've got shorts, we've got sarongs, we've got towels, we've got everything. If you have not been baptized and the Lord is stirring in your heart today to be baptized, I invite you. I encourage you. Yeah, it's a pretty nice day. It could be colder. Don't be afraid like I was. Don't put it off any longer. Don't put it off any longer. If there's anyone else out there, please. Not for my sake, for your sake. For your sake. Okay. I'm going to ask each one of these guys just to give a little short testimony. Say something, a few minutes. We'll start with Rhea, Jean, and then Kenneth. Just your path to the Lord, why you want to get baptized, anything you like. Share your heart with us. And while they're sharing their hearts, if there is anyone else out there, please don't be afraid to come up.
Yeah, good morning. I was just listening to what Yanni was saying, and I just felt that I just want to start anew with the Lord. I gave my life to the Lord a long time ago, and then I went and turn away from God. And the day that I decided to turn back to God, I just felt that I have to be baptized again. And then John came along, and I just felt that's the right time to do it. So this is what I'm doing this morning.
Good morning. Well, I've never been baptized ever before, so I just, like Annie says, I want salvation, and I'm kind of emotional because I don't know what to expect about it. And my dad said, I spoke to my dad about it, and I said, if I do it, will someone at least do it with me? And he said he'll do it with me, so I'm yet to do it.
Hi, guys. Yes, I think today is my best day because I just want to be a change man. I just want to be a good father. I just remember when Jan said he was committed to Kate. So for me, I just want to commit to God. So today, I want to say God is going to help me. God is going to give me power. God is going to do everything for me. I want to say, God, I'm on your way. Today, help me. Thank you.
I just want to also share my testimony, what Ren was saying. When Yanni got saved, I had backslidden. I was saved from a young girl, and I had backslidden, and we recommitted our lives together. And that day that he had decided to get baptized, in my heart as well, I just had this longing to get baptized again. But I didn't want to tell him because I didn't want to sort of steal his thunder. You know, I mean, it was his thing, his day. And like, you know, it was very big for him. So, but it was nagging in my heart. And like you said, those 3 days. And on the day that we went to church, it nagged in my heart. I hadn't told him at all. It nagged in my heart so much that I sort of snuck clothes in my bag and took them with me. And when they called them to the room, I sat there in my chair and I was like, no, I'm not going. I can't go. I've been baptized. And then just the Holy Spirit, obviously, was like just saying, do this, you know. And eventually I went and he was like, what are you doing here, you know. And I just said to him, look, I really have to do this. And I just want to tell you that, you know, the Bible doesn't say get baptized again and again. It doesn't say get saved again and again. But I'm just telling you now, if the Holy Spirit is telling you in your heart to get baptized, you just do it. Don't worry about the fact that you've been baptized. Don't worry about, just do it. Do it in obedience to the Lord. Because on that day, as Yanni said, something, you see, I had got saved and backslid 3 times. I mean, you know, and there was a pattern. Because what had happened was, I identify now that when I did get baptized, it was not really something I did knowingly. Yeah, it wasn't I hadn't counted the cost. I did it because someone told me to do it and I just did it. And I'm not saying it didn't count. I'm just saying I just know that that day when I did count the cost and chose to be baptized, it changed our lives. So, yeah, just to encourage you.
Okay, so what we're going to... Yes.
Sorry. I just want to share a short testimony with you. Yanni said it this morning. If you're not baptized, you'll go to heaven. It's fine. If you committed your life to Christ and you're born again, you'll go to heaven, whether you're baptized or not. I counseled a guy a few years ago who went through this guy in his life. If I say that he went to hell and back a few times, I'm not exaggerating. If anything that can happen to any given person happened to this guy. This guy went in, I cannot tell you the depths that this guy went through. His life was a wreck for years and years and years and years. And then he came to me and I counseled him. And then I asked him a question one day and I said to him, what was the one thing that that just held on to you so that you didn't fall away altogether. And then he said this to me. He said, you know what? That day that I cut covenant with God when I was baptized, he said, in the deepest depths that I had descended into, I never forgot that moment that I got up out of the water. I never, ever forgot that moment. And he said, that is what I've held on to all these years. And the Lord restored his life. The Lord restored him amazingly. It's a miracle second to none what the Lord did in that guy's life. Now just think about what I'm saying. When I said to him, what was the one thing that you held on to? He said this, the day that I made a covenant with God and I came up out of the water, that was the one thing that I remembered no matter what I went through. So what Yanni said is true, but I want to tell you this. That moment when you get up out of the water, and I was baptized when I was 13 years old, and I still remember that day today. 40 years later, I still remember that day. When I got up out of the water, I'll never forget that feeling as long as I live. And you know, at that moment, you know, this was the right thing to do. So don't be discouraged, don't be shy, don't be afraid. And if you feel, well, not today, you know what, organize a baptism service next Sunday again, no problem. I'm sure of that. But don't let the devil tell you, oh, this is not for you, this is not now. You know, just do it. If the Lord's speaking in your heart, just do it.
Apparently there's a lady here that wants to get baptized, but I don't want to call out her name in case she does. I don't want to force her, but I will give the opportunity one more time. If anyone else, lady or man, would like to get baptized in our pool in the next 5 minutes, please come up. Don't be shy. As I said, we've got t-shirts, we've got shorts, we've got sarongs, we've got towels. So if anyone didn't bring clothes and they want to do it, today is the day. Right. Come, Renee. Come, Renee. Do you want to?
I was baptized. I was baptized in 1994. But like Kat said, I also backslid and things like it. And when she was talking, I just felt God dropping it in my heart that I must do it again. But I'm getting so cold.
that moment that that Del was talking about, the moment you'll never forget, is not the temperature of the water. Sorry, Veronica, just... Veronica's also stood up. Veronica, do you want to say something?
Last Sunday, the pastor was just, yeah, I don't know his name, but he preached about what do you see. At the moment, I see that, and it was also quite a few months ago, it was also a service, I see the curtains opening. That's what I see today. I see people's hearts are being opened, not being by baptism, but people that are, what is that? I said word. that are seeing it. They're seeing the baptism. Their hearts are being opened and the curtains are being opened. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so if you guys can go and get changed. If anyone needs any change of clothes, go to Kat. There's a whole lot in my office if you haven't bought towels or anything. We would love for you guys to stay, especially people in the small groups, just to come and pray over. We have one more last-minute person. We've got one more. Okay.
Hello, I baptized myself in a swimming pool about 4.5 years ago. So I thought I'm going to do it the proper way.
Amen. As I said, those people are changing. For those who can stay, that would be awesome just to celebrate the moment and pray for them afterwards. For those who need to go, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Thank you for being with us. And see you again next week. Tea and coffee will be served in the foyer. Thank you.